just in time for the Bible Answer Man broadcast with Hank Hanegraaff. Here, you'll find answers to your questions about the Christian faith, the Bible, and trends in the church today. Hank is ready to take your calls, so get your place in line and join us on the program. Just call 888-ASK-HANK. Numerically, that's 888-275-4265. And now, here's the host of the Bible Answer Man, Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy. I want to open the broadcast by doing something that I wasn't supposed to do until August 1st, but quite frankly, I just can't wait to put a particular DVD into your hands. It is stunning. I not only enjoyed this personally, but I want to enjoy this with my family and my extended family as well. Flight, the Genius of Birds. I actually wrote a little blurb for the cover. I said this: as I watched Flight, God's interrogation of Job out of the storm flashed like lightning through my mind. Does the hawk take flight by your wisdom, spread his wings towards the south? Does the eagle soar at your command and build its nest on high? Honestly, I didn't think Illustra Media could produce a rival to their astonishing films like Privileged Planet and Metamorphosis, but with Flight, they most certainly have done just that. In fact, the poet William Blake once wrote that to see an eagle in the air is to observe a portion of genius. And in Flight, the DVD that I want to put into your hands, the ingenuity of a bird's behavior and biology showcase unmistakable evidence for design, for purpose, for plan. It's an evidence best explained by an intelligence that transcends the natural world. In other words, it simply cannot be explained by philosophical naturalism. You have to ultimately believe in the supernatural when you start to understand the genius of birds. And this is precisely what Flight puts at your fingertips. For example, the elaborate network of a million component parts that make a feather, an aerodynamic masterpiece, and much more. In fact, let me say just a couple of words about feathers. And all of this is given in the most beautiful presentation in the DVD. But, you know, there's a primary evolutionary contention that in the course of merely millions of years, reptilian scales became more and more like feathers until one day, well, the perfect feather emerged. Well, the question becomes, is this reasonable or is this ridiculous? And the answer is that as science advances, it has brought to light an unanticipated world of enormous complexity that requires the evolutionist to take, well, a huge leap of faith. The science of statistical probability alone demonstrates that chance operating in concert with undirected processes can no more create a finch's feather than it could a fish's fin. And here's why. The meticulous engineering of feathers does not square with evolutionary probabilities. The central shaft of a feather has a series of barbs. They project from each side at right angles. And then there are rows of smaller barbels, and in turn they protrude from both sides of the barbs. And then there are tiny hooks, they're called barbicels. They project downward from one side of the barbules and interlock with the ridges on the opposite side of adjacent barbules. There may be as many as a million barbules cooperating to bind the barbs into a complete feather, impervious to air penetration. So when you look at a feather, you don't see all of that, but that's the intricacy in just what we would call a simple feather. Consider the profound aerodynamic properties of a feathered airfoil. The positioning of feathers is controlled by a complex network of tendons that that allows the feathers to open like the slats of a blind when the wing is being raised. And as a result, wind resistance is greatly reduced on the upstroke. And on the downstroke, the feathers close, providing resistance for efficient flight. So to attribute the fearsome flight of a falcon and the delicate darting flitter of a hummingbird to an unguided, purposeless process is to fly from knowledge to anti-knowledge. Well, this DVD doesn't preach. At least it doesn't audibly preach. You watch it and you get the picture immediately. There is a God. No questions after you watch this. It's available for your gift to the ongoing work of the Christian Research Institute. You can check it out on the World Wide Web at equip.org. You can write me at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. Or as always, you can talk to one of our resource consultants. They're standing by, 888-7000 and the letter CRI. A lot of you hanging on. We'll go right to the phone calls. Again, the number to dial to get your question answered live today, 888-ASK-HANK, translates to 888-275-4265. First up, Ryan Chandler, Arizona. Hi, Ryan.
Hey, Hank, can you hear me okay?
Yeah, I sure can.
All right, thanks. My question is revolving around this prophecy that's been around for centuries, although it's gained a lot of publicity in recent years on TBN, which is the reason I'm slightly concerned. See, have you ever heard of St. Malachy?
Yeah.
Yeah, in the 12th century, he gave like this list of popes that would lead up to the last pope before Christ's return, and well, Saint Francis is supposedly the last pope on this list. But I try to use discernment in a lot of my decision making, and especially what I hear, especially on TBN. And I'm concerned about this prophecy. I don't think it's true. I mean, that's my opinion. I've heard other things like St. Malachy's actual prophecies were written, or sorry, I should say they were published like hundreds of years after he actually died. I heard other people say his prophecies are dead on, and then I heard other people say his prophecies are dead wrong. So can you offer any insight? Do you believe this prophecy at all? And if not, what do I say to somebody who does?
Well, first of all, congratulations for having discernment. You shouldn't listen to everything that you hear over the airwaves, particularly if it's on the Trinity Broadcasting Network. But look, St. Malachy is most likely, in terms of the prophecies that are attributed to him, most likely a 16th century forgery. But counterfeit prophecy stars always have one thing in common. They're consistently wrong. In illumined contrast, genuine prophecy stars are infallibly correct. And unlike the pretenders, their prophetic prowess cannot be pawned off to good luck or good guessing or deliberate deceit. So what I'm communicating here is that what prophecy does is it foretells the future from the perspective of God, who alone can foretell the future. So there's no one on the planet that knows what's going to happen if you're writing in the 12th century or prophesying then, knows what's going to happen in the 21st century. Only God knows the future. And by the way, God keeps the future hidden for our benefit. If we knew what was going to happen in the future, we wouldn't want to face the future. So God, in his providence, only gives us enough light to step into some more light. And he never gives us the prerogative to determine what's going to happen in the future. We simply don't know. And that's why we are called to prepare as though the coming of Jesus Christ is a long way off, and be prepared as though he might come in the next millisecond. If you look at the Bible, what does the Bible do? It is a prophetic book, and prophecy demonstrates that it is divine as opposed to merely human in origin. For example, God says this, "I told you these things," and he's speaking through the prophet Isaiah, "long ago, before they happened, I announced them to you so that you could not say, my idols did them, my wooden image, my metal god ordained them." In other words, God speaks through the prophets and demonstrates that the Bible is divine as opposed to merely human in origin. Now we test all things in light of Scripture and hold fast to that which is good. So just as the miracles of Jesus cannot be duplicated because Jesus is the foundation of the Christian church, so too the prophecies of the Bible are not being duplicated after biblical prophecy has been fulfilled. So we know that this is a false prophecy, number one. Number two, this is likely a 16th century forgery. And though Malachi lived during the 12th century, these prophecies weren't even discovered until the 16th century. And the descriptions of a sequence of popes is most likely history written after the fact, if it is anything at all. And so you take these vague prophecies and now have them articulated and sensationalized and hyped on Christian television. Why? So that people in the present epoch can say, look, I'm living in the time that Jesus Christ is coming back. And guess what? Every single person who's ever predicted that in the past has been 100% wrong. And again, the reason is no one knows, and the Bible gives us nary a clue as to when Jesus Christ is going to return.
Makes perfect sense. Thank you so much. Do you have time for one more quick question?
Sure, yeah.
Would you consider Catholics to be Christian?
Well, here's the thing. I think that there are Protestants that are Christians, and I think that there are Catholics that are Christians. I think that there are Protestants that deny essential Christian doctrine, or at least compromise and confuse it, if not outright deny it. For example, liberal Protestants deny the resurrection. They deny the incarnation. They deny Christian biblical soteriology. And you find the same thing within Roman Catholicism. So I think ultimately you have to say that Christianity is not a denomination, it's not a creed, it's ultimately a relationship that one can have with the living Lord of the universe. And that relationship is not only a function of recognizing the imputation of Christ's righteousness. In other words, we're saved by God's grace through faith on account of Jesus Christ alone, but is also the impartation of his life. We're not just living a changed life, we're living an exchanged life, the life of Christ within us. We can say we are now dead. We've been crucified with Christ. Christ now lives within me. I no longer live, but he lives. So there are people who can correctly cross every T and dot every I, but they don't have the impartation of life. So it's not just, as someone has well said, an explanation, it's an experience with Jesus Christ that we can have in the present and have to the full.
Thank you so much again, sir. Truth matters a lot to me, and thank you for your show, and I'll certainly keep listening. God bless you.
Well, thank you very much. God bless you as well. And again, I want to mention, emphasize, even flight, the genius of birds. This is something I want you to see. If you've seen Metamorphosis or Privileged Planet, you'll know why I'm saying this. If you haven't, you want to get flight, you will be mesmerized. Not only that, but you'll also be equipped to always be ready to give an answer or reason for the hope that lies within you with gentleness and with respect. Again, for your gift to the ongoing work of the Christian Research Institute, I'll send you this stunning DVD. Also, if you are an existing member of the monthly support team, we are still trying to close a funding gap. We need your help. If you can give an extra gift, it would really make a strategic difference as we reach out around the world. If you're not a member and you see the life-changing impact that the Christian Research Institute is having, please prayerfully consider joining the Bible Answer Man monthly support team today. For your gift of $25 or more, you'll receive a personalized copy of my book, The Complete Bible Answer Book Collector's Edition, as my way of saying thank you. Also want to mention, if you have not at present subscribed to the Christian Research Journal, you may want to check it out online at equip.org. It is a stunningly beautiful magazine. Content and form melded together. So when you see it, you'll see why it's won so many awards for graphic design and artistry. But the content is reliable and trustworthy. I was just in Utah this weekend, and a pastor of a large Christian church there was telling me how significant the Christian Research Journal was in his own efforts as a pastor to equip his people to always be ready to give an answer, a reason for the hope that lies within them, with gentleness and with respect. You can subscribe to the journal in a safe, secure fashion online. And by the way, if you enter the offer code SUMMER, you'll get a discount and a free copy.
Evolution strips away any notion of God. No God, no absolute truth. No absolute truth, and anything and everything goes. That's why Hank Hanegraaff wants to equip you with what he calls one of the most powerful tools he's seen to help you understand why evolution is false. The DVD called Flight, The Genius of Birds. It's our gift to thank you for your donation to support this Bible Answer Man broadcast. So call to request it today. 1-888-7000-CRI. 1-888-7000-CRI, or visit equip.org. That's equip.org. Stay with us. Hank Hanegraaff will be back with more right after this. Are you the product of millions of years of unguided, purposeless natural processes, or are you created in the image of a loving God? Faced with the overwhelming scorn of evolutionary proselytizers, it can be hard to articulate the truth about God's creative work. And even among faithful Christians, many misconceptions linger. The Creation Answer Book by Hank Hanegraaff puts answers to the most hotly debated origins questions right at your fingertips, giving you clarity and understanding. Learn to articulate the truth about our origins clearly and compassionately when you request your copy of the Creation Answer Book. Now the Creation Answer Book is available in an unabridged audiobook format. So order your copy of the Creation Answer Book on audio CD today by calling 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org. Have you ever wanted to listen to the Bible Answer Man broadcast on your phone or handheld device? Now you can with the Equip iPhone app available for free from the Christian Research Institute. With the Equip iPhone app, you can take the Bible Answer Man with you wherever you go. Listen to the broadcast live, listen to archived programs, 3-minute Ask Hank features, and read well-researched, trustworthy articles that will help you defend the faith and grow in your walk with Christ. All of this available for free from the Christian Research Institute. So go online to equip.org and click on the Equip iPhone app banner and download this free app today. Or go to equip.org/app. That's equip.org/app. The Equip iPhone app is compatible with iPhone 5, iPhone 4, 4S, 3GS, iPad, iPod Touch, and requires iOS 6. It's one of the most powerful tools I've seen to equip people with the truth of creation. These were Hank Hanegraaff's words after watching the DVD from Illustra Media called Flight, The Genius of Birds, and he wants to send you a copy to thank you for your donation to support this Bible Answer Man broadcast. Flight takes a detailed look at birds and addresses head-on the logical impossibility that this complex biological system could be produced by a purposeless process rather than by a personal plan. Equip yourself and your children and grandchildren with the truth about why evolution is false and why the biblical account of creation is true. Call and request your copy of Flight, The Genius of Birds today, 1-888-7000-CRI. 1-888-7000-CRI. or visit us online at equip.org. That's equip.org. The origin of the universe and human life is the apologetic issue of our day, and every Christian needs to be equipped to speak out clearly when atheistic evolutionists confront us with their alleged scientific proofs. Hank Hanegraaff's Creation Answer Book puts answers to the most hotly debated origins questions right at your fingertips, giving you clarity and understanding. The Creation Answer Book is available in an unabridged audiobook format. So order your copy of the Creation Answer Book on audio CD today by calling 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org. Now back to the Bible Answer Man broadcast with your host, Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy. Right back to our phone callers. Next up is Linda listening in Vancouver, British Columbia, Canada, K-A-R-I. Hi, Linda.
Hi, Hank. How are you?
Good, thank you.
Good. Wondered about three Bibles. What do you think about them? The Recovery Bible, the NLT, and the Amplified Bible.
Well, I'll tell you what we have done, and you can check this out on the World Wide Web, is we have put up an article on how you can identify good Bible translations, both in the genre of formal equivalency and dynamic equivalency. Formal equivalency being more of a word-for-word translation from the original language to the receptor language, and dynamic equivalency, more of a thought-for-thought translation. So if you go to the World Wide Web at equip.org, again, those articles are online. As far as some of the translations that are available today, some of them are said to be translations like the NLT, but I think probably should be called paraphrases because in some cases they go beyond the range of meanings that is allowable from the original language to the receptor language. The Amplified as well has been used in many cases in an untoward manner. For example, it's one of the favorite translations of the Word of Faith teachers that they have used to try to substantiate the notion that faith is a force, words are the containers of force, and through the force of faith, one can create their own reality. Also, I'd be very cautious about some of the notes you find in translations in that the notes are not inspired, although a lot of people think because the Bible is inspired, somehow or other the notes have equal equivalency, and that certainly is not the case. Again, you can go to the World Wide Web at equip.org and find good information on the web on Bible translations. Let's go back to the phone line. Talk to Troy in Jackson, Mississippi, Sirius XM 131. Hi, Troy.
Hi, Hank. Thanks for taking my call.
You're welcome.
Yeah, my question has to deal with the post-resurrection body. I was once teaching a Sunday school and brought up John 20. Verse 19, where Christ appears to the disciples after the doors were locked, and I argued that it doesn't necessarily mean that Christ walked through the walls, but that by way of miracle, his body was transported into the room. And my thinking was that if Christ did walk through the walls, then his body is only partially human. And I was wondering if you could comment on that.
Well, I think, first of all, we don't really know what matter is, even in an age of scientific enlightenment. There's a great deal of debate and discussion and even confusion on that particular subject. So there are those that try to explain this through natural means, but I think you're best off doing precisely what you did, and that is invoke the supernatural. And we can't necessarily say how that works. We don't know how Theanthropus, the God-man, transcends time and space. We know that he does. So even now, we know that in the ascension, he is close to us spiritually, but he's also close to us physically. It is, as it were, a veil that now separates the habitation of God from the habitation of humanity. And when Jesus appears a second time, it will be because that veil is removed, and then we'll see that he wasn't all that far away from us to begin with. In other words, heaven and earth are not two different locations, but two different dimensions of God's good creation. And again, when Jesus appears a second time, sacred space will fill our place. The habitation of God and the habitation of humanity will be conjoined. Now, all of that by way of illustration to say that he supernaturally was able to transcend time and space, and thus I'm quite certain that what happened when he appeared and the doors were locked is that he, as the God-man, miraculously came into the room again in the sense of transcending the physical barriers.
Yes, I mean that's an excellent explanation, because it would just seem that if his body was able to walk through the walls, then it was no longer fully human. They tried to argue using 1 Corinthians 15:40. Saying that the different kinds of bodies and so forth, but that didn't seem to hold, because if it's talking about not a different substantial body, but it's a different body in one type, but not substantially different.
Yeah, exactly. That's a very good point as well. I mean, a spiritual body does not mean a non-material body. 1 Corinthians chapter 15's use of spiritual body is as a body that is dominated by the Spirit, not a body that is corrupted. So again, it has nothing to do with whether it's physical or non-physical. Christ's body is physical, and a spiritual body is physical as well, but it's a body dominated by the Spirit, not a body that is dominated by the corrupted flesh.
Yes, excellent, excellent. Thanks so much, Hank. I appreciate you.
You get it. Thank you so much for your call. Good question. Back to the phone lines. We'll talk to Christopher next. Hi, Christopher is listening in Jacksonville, Florida, Sirius XM 131. Hi, Christopher.
Hello. How are you? Thanks for taking my phone call.
You're welcome.
So my question is in regards to masturbation, okay? My situation is a little different. I'm not sure it's similar to many men, but I'm married, okay, and my wife is in the military. She's been deployed for about 7 weeks, and she'll be gone for another 8 months. So I know masturbation is wrong when looking at porn and lusting for other women. You know, it's self-gratification and selfishness rather than selflessness. But is it wrong to masturbate to photos of my wife in a bathing suit, no nudity, just thinking of her only?
Well, let me say that masturbation or sex with self, or perhaps described as solo sex, does not fit God's design, because it is divorced from the beauty of relationship. So solo sex is not God's design. We were created for sexual union, male and female, not for solo sexual activity. But it is good that you brought up the issues that you brought up, because the basic principles that ultimately govern this question is do not lust, do not fantasize after someone you are not married to. In this case, you're making the distinction, but I'm adding a layer to this by saying that solo sexual activity is not God's design. So that's my answer to your question, although ultimately this is going to have to be an issue that you prayerfully discuss with the Lord. I mean, this is something that is a part of your Christian conscience. Can you do this in a way that's glorifying to the Lord and honoring to your mate?
Yeah, that's a valid point you made there, and that's what I've been dealing with, is just the okay, well, how does it feel on my conscience? Well, I think the Holy Spirit speaking to me saying, don't do it, sustain. and be abstinent and walk with Christ in this. And if you can hold out for 8 months, I think there'll be great reward.
Yeah, and it's a matter of chastity. I mean, there's a time and place for fasting from food so you can feast on God, and you may well think about this in the same sense. Chastity is a form of fasting, and you're fasting from the relationship. You're enhancing your relationship with God, and you are awaiting that time of fulfillment when your wife comes back. Again, sex is made for union. It's not a solo activity.
Absolutely. That answers my question. Good point. Good point, Hank.
Hey, appreciate your call and your sensitivity. God bless you, my friend.
Thank you so much. Same to you. God bless you. Bye.
And thank you for the service of your wife. Back to the phone lines. We'll talk to Macy next, listening in Texas, Sirius XM 131. Hi, Macy.
How are you doing, sir?
Doing well, thank you.
My question is about cremation. I was listening yesterday, and a lady had called in, and she was talking about a friend of hers, and as far as cremation. The thing that I'm concerned about is there's a lot of families that cannot afford a burial due to the cost, and then there's a person that I know that was actually in a car accident and caught on fire and burned. So my question is, as far as what you had said yesterday, it is my understanding it's not a choice that we make. We should be buried. Is that correct?
No, what I'm saying is that burial is the preferred biblical method, and the reason it is because it highlights the preservation of the body, that body is going to rise immortal, imperishable, incorruptible. So burial points towards the beauty and reality of resurrection. Cremation in its underpinnings does not. In its Eastern underpinnings, it points to escape from the body. But God can resurrect the cremated just as he can resurrect the buried. And I think you're making that point by saying someone got burned in a car accident and their body was disintegrated. God can resurrect that person the same way. The point, however, is that if you are going to cremate someone in a Christian funeral, you want to make extra attention or take extra attention to the notion of communicating at this very raw, vulnerable time the beauty of bodily resurrection, that body, though burned, is going to rise immortal, imperishable, incorruptible. Doesn't necessitate that every atom is resuscitated. It simply necessitates that there's continuity between the body that was and the body that will be.
Very good. Well, it was actually something that I had thought about doing myself, simply due to the cost and the burden that this put on a family. And it's just something that's very common now. And yesterday, and I listen to you every day, and God bless you.
God bless you as well. And you know, if you do this, just make sure that in your last will and testament that you make clear that you want those at your funeral to know that you are going to rise, and that is your great hope. Not that Christianity gives you a peaceful way to come to terms with the difficulties of life, but that it gives you a way to overcome them, and that through resurrection. So you will rise again, immortal, imperishable, incorruptible. As long as that message is made emphatic, you can yet be a great testimony, even though you are now in the casket. So bless you. Thank you for calling. Thank you for your words of encouragement. And also thank you for asking for clarification. This is a singularly important subject. Be back in just a few moments with more answers right here on the Bible Answer Man broadcast.
In a culture that views evolution as the only rational explanation for our origins, it's more important than ever to arm yourself with the truth. In his Creation Answer Book, Hank Hanegraaff provides the well-researched, logical answers you need to defend your faith. Order your copy of the Creation Answer Book or the unabridged audiobook on CD from the Christian Research Institute by calling 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org. We'll return to the Bible Answer Man broadcast right after this. It's one of the most powerful tools I've seen to equip people with the truth of creation. These were Hank Hanegraaff's words after watching the DVD from Illustra Media called Flight, The Genius of Birds, and he wants to send you a copy to thank you for your donation to support this Bible Answer Man broadcast. Flight takes a detailed look at birds and addresses head-on the logical impossibility that this complex biological system could be produced by a purposeless process rather than by a personal plan. Equip yourself and your children and grandchildren with the truth about why evolution is false and why the biblical account of creation is true. Call and request your copy of Flight, The Genius of Birds today, 1-888-7000-CRI. 1-888-7000-CRI. Or visit us online at equip.org. That's equip.org. Have you ever wanted to listen to the Bible Answer Man broadcast on your phone or handheld device? Now you can with the Equip iPhone app available for free from the Christian Research Institute. With the Equip iPhone app, you can take the Bible Answer Man with you wherever you go. Listen to the broadcast live, listen to archived programs, 3-minute Ask Hank features, and read well-researched, trustworthy articles that will help you defend the faith and grow in your walk with Christ. All of this available for free from the Christian Research Institute. So go online to equip.org and click on the Equip iPhone app banner and download this free app today. Or go to equip.org/app. That's equip.org/app. The Equip iPhone app is compatible with iPhone 5, iPhone 4, 4S, 3GS, iPad, iPod Touch, and requires iOS 6. Are you the product of millions of years of unguided, purposeless, natural processes? Or are you created in the image of a loving God? Faced with the overwhelming scorn of evolutionary proselytizers, it can be hard to articulate the truth about God's creative work. And even among faithful Christians, many misconceptions linger. The Creation Answer Book by Hank Hanegraaff puts answers to the most hotly debated origins questions right at your fingertips, giving you clarity and understanding. Learn to articulate the truth about our origins clearly and compassionately when you request your copy of the Creation Answer Book. Now the Creation Answer Book is available in an unabridged audiobook format. So order your copy of the Creation Answer Book on audio CD today by calling 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org. See a work of art, we know it was created by an intelligent designer. But evolution asks us to believe that our Earth and its inhabitants are the result of a purposeless process. Hank wants to equip you with the truth about creation. That's why he'll send you a powerful DVD called Flight, The Genius of Birds, to thank you for your donation today. Request it when you call 1-888-7000-CRI. 1-888-7000-CRI or visit us online at equip.org. That's equip.org. Now here's more of the Bible Answer Man broadcast with your host, Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy. And right back to our phone callers. Next up is Vicki listening in Cutler, Illinois, Bot Radio. Hi, Vicki.
Hi, Hank. Thank you for taking my call.
Pleasure.
Quick setup here. Grew up in a violent home. No stability, no nothing. No mention of God. Was taken to church when I was 7 by an elderly lady. Heard at the end of the sermon that if you have anything to ask God, just ask, He'll give it to you. Of course, I did every night for years that He would straighten our home life out. And that didn't change. And I think I built up some bitterness and anger. But anyway, dabbled in being a Christian in my 30s and then just didn't. And at 52, I seriously asked Christ into my life. But I struggle every day to believe in him, to believe that he's even real, just struggling constantly with faith and feelings.
Yes.
Because I don't have much as far as feelings. People just tell me it's a choice to believe, it's this, but I see people that I think genuinely love God, and I want that.
Yeah. Well, Vicki, let me just say a couple of things to you. First of all, good for you. You're honest about your struggle. You're not sweeping it under the carpet, as it were. You're open and honest with yourself, and a lot of people instead live in a state of cognitive dissonance. So I'm pleased that you are searching as you are. And I would say the first thing in terms of the existence of God is that you can look at the universe around you and know that there is a God. I mean, I was talking about this DVD flight that we're putting into people's hands. You start looking at the intricacies, even of a bird's feather, and you know there has to be a creator. But even on a more macro scale, I mean, you look up at the sun, moon, and stars, you know that every effect has to have a cause equal to or greater than itself. So the heavens declare the glory of God. The skies proclaim the work of his hands, as both David points out in the Psalms and the Apostle Paul does in Romans chapter 1. But Paul goes a step further in Romans chapter 2, and he says, not only do we have the light of creation, but we have the light of conscience, which is to say that God has written a knowledge of himself on the tablet of our consciousness, so that ultimately we know from an inward perspective that God exists. And Jesus amplifies this by saying that the reason people try to deny that is they love darkness rather than light, because their deeds are evil. So if you're genuinely searching after light, the illumined reality of God's existence is on the tablet of our consciousness. So we have an outer light, as it were, creation, and an inner light, conscience. And what the Bible tells us is that if, in fact, we respond to the light we have been given, we will receive more light, which is to say, light that leads us to Jesus Christ. And that light is quite extraordinary as well, because God is not only transcendent, he's not only seen through his creation, but he's seen in that he has condescended to take on form, and he has lived and moved among us and demonstrated that he is in fact God through the immutable fact of the resurrection, the fact that he had the power to lay down his life, take it up again. And this is not something we accept in Christianity through blind faith, but rather through faith in evidence. We know that Jesus suffered fatal torment. We know that the tomb was empty. We know that Christ appeared and gave convincing proofs that he had risen from the dead. And we know that scared, scattered disciples were utterly transformed as a result of seeing the resurrected Christ. I mean, James, the half-brother of Jesus, was embarrassed by everything that Jesus stood for until Christ appeared to him, and then he became the leader of the Jerusalem church, was eventually martyred, and you inevitably have to ask yourself the question, what would it take for you to willingly die for the notion that one of your family members is God? Only the resurrection can account for that. So the point here is that there's ample evidence to believe that there is a God, and that Jesus Christ demonstrated that he is God through the immutable fact of resurrection. So you can always go back to that pillar and post when your faith is shaken. And that's the idea of apologetics, or the defense of the faith. It's not only pre-evangelism, where God uses a well-reasoned answer to communicate the gospel, but it's also post-evangelism, when you begin to shake in your faith, or the waves of doubt beat upon the door of your house, then you can go back to those pillars or posts that demonstrate that God exists, that Jesus Christ is God, and that the Bible is his authority by which he communicates to us love letters by which we can live our lives in a way that pleasing to him, but also communicates his reality to us.
Okay. I have a couple of people that kind of laugh at me. I've seen some miracles that God has done in my life, and I catch myself going, now why are you doubting? You know.
Mm.
I know of two occasions where he saved my life. There was no doubt.
Yes.
And you know, but then the next day I get up and I'm like, is this a fairy tale?
Well, and Vicki, you know, what I like so much about your transparency is you're no different than the disciples. I mean, look at Peter. He saw Christ's miracles, and yet when he was standing on the water, he suddenly began to sink because he was of little faith. And we are very much like Peter. Our faith sometimes ebbs, just like Peter's faith ebbed. And we could give you so many examples biblically of great men of God, and yet their faith ebbed. There was an ebb and flow to their faith. So there are times where your faith is very fragile and sometimes where it's robust. That's just the human condition. So we ultimately don't depend on our feelings. That's why I outlined the facts. I mean, we should test our feelings in light of the facts, and the facts say that God exists.
Yeah, I get in some trouble there. I'm very emotional, and I've gotten in trouble with that. It's after all those years. I heard a comment by a minister one time saying, when you come to the Lord late in life, it's very hard for you because you have seen so much in life and you've been harmed so much. And I believe a lot of that is true, but I also believe that it's very easy to come to Christ at any time.
Yeah, it is. And you know what's beautiful about this, Vicki, is it's not only a matter of giving assent to logical truth propositions, such as we are saved by God's grace through faith on account of Jesus Christ alone. That is true, and we must believe that salvation is not what we do, but what Christ has done. But Christianity is more than the imputation of Christ's righteousness. It's the impartation of his life. It's not just a changed life. It's an exchanged life. The living Christ in you, the hope of glory, giving you abundance of life. That abundance being that you are ever more designed in such a way that you increasingly can relate to the one who redeemed you by his grace. So it's an experience that you can have with the living Lord, because it's not you that lives now, it's Christ that lives in you, but you have to give access to the voice of the indwelling Christ so you don't shut him out by the invasive sounds of the world.
Okay, makes sense. It kind of bears up with what I'm like, it's not emotion. It's not all emotion. Sometimes I get caught up in seeing all these people getting all emotional, and I'm like, oh, I'm very emotional. Why am I not feeling this and that? But then I can sit out on my porch at night and look at the moon and look at the stars and know beyond the shadow of a doubt.
Yes.
Like I said, I think I just thought coming into this at the late stage in my life, I thought, well, I guess this is going to be instant. I'm just going to have all these feelings and great love and joy and
Well, it's a process. You know, intimacy on a human and a divine level is the same in that it takes the investment of quality time. You see, even Jesus Christ modeling this, where he often withdrew to lonely places and prayed because he treasured fellowship with his heavenly Father. God bless you, Vicki.
Thank you so much.
Good talking to
you
today. Back to the phone lines. We'll talk to Hudson next in Nashville, Tennessee. Hudson is listening on Bot Radio. Hi, Hudson.
I'll start off by saying that me and my dad love your show.
Oh, thank you. How old are you?
I'm 12 years old.
Oh, thanks for calling.
Mm-hmm. I have a question about the book Gifted Hands.
Yeah.
In that book, he kind of really wants to be a doctor because what he heard when he was 8 really surprised him, and it really motivated him to be a doctor. And what I don't get is that everything really worked out for him in that book. Like, really worked out. Everything that he wanted to be, everything that God wanted him to be worked out. But why is that not the case for everybody in the world? Like, why are there a lot of people who struggle and him not really struggling?
Well, first of all, he did struggle. You know, sometimes when we read a book, we sort of read an airbrushed version of life that doesn't go through in detail all the struggles. But let me tell you, Hudson, for every single person, life is one series of challenges after another. And certainly he had a lot of challenges. Everything was set against him, so to speak, to become such a highly celebrated neurosurgeon. And yet, by God's grace, he did become what he was intended to become, and he was able to exercise his gifts. So as you go through life, you'll have the same experience, Hudson. As you go from 12 to 15 to 20, you'll have struggles. But the Bible tells us this, that all things work together for good to those who love God and are the called according to his purposes, which is to say you'll have struggles, but God will even use those struggles for his good and his grace and for his glory. So Christianity never gives us a peaceful way to come to terms with the struggles. It gives us ultimately the promise that God will use the struggles for his glory and for our good, and that in the end, all those things will work in a tapestry that makes your life beautiful to God, useful in his kingdom, and ultimately one who will be resurrected in a new heaven and a new earth where indwells righteousness. I bet you I could talk to you for hours. You are gifted and you are bright. I can tell by your question. Unfortunately, I'm out of time. Good talking to you, Hudson. Call me again sometime. You got it, my friend. I'm going to stay right here for an extra hour. Once we go off the air, we'll continue taking your calls right here on the Bible Answer Man broadcast. If you're hanging on, be patient. I'll get to you. A lot of good questions hanging on. And if you're dialing in for the next hour, you can call in your question, 888-ASK-HANK, and I'll try to answer your question as well. Again, for the next hour, you can dial 888-ASK-HANK. Thanks for tuning in today. Look forward to seeing you next time with more of the show.
Thanks for tuning in to the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Our website, equip.org, has an abundance of resources and information to help sharpen your discernment skills. Not only do we provide books, videos, and informative articles, but you can also listen to the broadcast live, download archived shows, get answers to pressing Bible questions, follow our blog, or connect with us on Facebook and Twitter. You can also sign up for our weekly e-newsletter and receive special benefits. All this and more at equip.org. Again, the address is equip.org. The Bible Answer Man broadcast is funded by the Christian Research Institute, a ministry supported solely by listeners like you. We're on the air because truth matters. It's one of the most powerful tools I've seen to equip people with the truth of creation. These were Hank Hanegraaff's words after watching the DVD from Illustra Media called Flight, The Genius of Birds, and he wants to send you a copy to thank you for your donation to support this Bible Answer Man broadcast. Flight takes a detailed look at birds and addresses head-on the logical impossibility that this complex biological system could be produced by a purposeless process rather than by a personal plan. Equip yourself and your children and grandchildren with the truth about why evolution is false and why the biblical account of creation is true. Call and request your copy of Flight, The Genius of Birds today, 1-888-7000-CRI. 1-888-7000-CRI. Or visit us online at equip.org. That's equip.org. Have you ever wanted to listen to the Bible Answer Man broadcast on your phone or handheld device? Now you can with the Equip iPhone app available for free from the Christian Research Institute. With the Equip iPhone app, you can take the Bible Answer Man with you wherever you go. Listen to the broadcast live, listen to archived programs, 3-minute Ask Hank features, and read well-researched, trustworthy articles that will help you defend the faith and grow in your walk with Christ. All of this available for free from the Christian Research Institute. So go online to equip.org and click on the Equip iPhone app banner and download this free app today, or go to equip.org/app.
That's equip.org/APP. The Equip iPhone app is compatible with iPhone 5, iPhone 4, 4S, 3GS, iPad, iPod Touch, and requires iOS 6.